You know, we ran out of time. We were talking about the Supreme Court and Jack Smith, and I made the statement today. There is no way John Roberts is going to say, no, we're going to decide that Donald Trump can't go through a trial because that'll make the Supreme Court, you know, also very popular. All that John Roberts cares about is his stupid image and protecting the image of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
You protect the image of the Supreme Court by actually doing what you say you're supposed to do, protecting and defending the laws and the Constitution of the United States. Now, I don't know where it's supposed to fall, but trying to get John Roberts to throw out a case that half the country will be crazy for if they throw it out, and the other half will be crazy if they decide wrong in the regular court. There's no way he's going to do that. If you come to the Supreme Court after he's charged, maybe after he's been found guilty or innocent, whatever, maybe there's a chance. But not before. Because he'll say, let the process play itself out. We don't need to get involved in this. He shouldn't have taken the case. By taking the case, I think they're signaling, it's okay. Donald Trump, mm-hmm. We're not on his side.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably right. And that's probably how it's going to play out over the next... And look, this is... The Roberts Court does not want to get in the middle of this stuff. And they don't want to be the focus of the attention. And even if it means... You know, really important things.
Rewriting
the Constitution being
the law for Obamacare.
For Obamacare, right? Like massive things that are changing our society. Even that, they won't get in the way to stop. So, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I don't think this is going to be a successful series of arguments by Trump. I don't think this is going to. If he's going to get off and win this case, it's not going to be because of these reasons.
Well, we have a lot on today's podcast that you just don't want to miss. First of all, we start with some really powerfully good news. There's a couple of places in today's show that it is extended happiness. It's almost weird. It might be like the fifth horseman of the apocalypse, Happy Harry. He's like, hey, everything is fine. But that horse was coming through with heavy, heavy hooves today. But we corrected the course real quickly by talking to Thomas Massie, who just got off the floor after the House voted with the Republican support to reauthorize FISA. It's insane. It's a crazy conversation that you don't want to miss. All of that and more on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
All right. Hello, Stu.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Well, I am really, really good. I want to just kind of give a year-end review. Tomorrow is our last show of the season. We come back with everything and starting fresh for 2024. But I just... I am so overwhelmed and honored to be anywhere near this audience. This, I believe, and I've said this for a very long time, two things. I felt that this audience is going to be the audience that somehow or another is the turning point in whatever it is we're facing. That this audience, some way, somehow, saves the Republic. I don't even know how that even happens, but I feel that so strongly.
You've always believed that for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And most of that time I was like, yeah, you know, they're okay. The audience, they're all right. They're fine.
They're good.
But I think recently I've been won over to this viewpoint as well.
It's amazing.
They really are. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's an amazing group that you happen to be a part of. And so last night I was talking to a 20-something because I'm preparing something for TPUSA, and they're having a big conference this Saturday, you know, this weekend, and Saturday night I'm doing the closing remarks for the day. And I was really wondering, what do I have of value? And so I was talking to a 20-something and I said, you know, what is it that you think people of your age need to hear? And we went over some things, and she ended with, you know, the biggest thing is a call to action. She said, we're always told that we can make the difference, that how important we are, and that you got to go out and, but what specifically? So I was thinking about that, and then I got the year-end reports in from Mercury One and the Nazarene Fund. And I just want to tell you, you might think that you haven't done anything this year, but just this audience, this year, listen to this. In Afghanistan, currently, the Nazarene Fund is supporting roughly 125 people monthly inside of Afghanistan. These are people that are hidden away and nobody knows about them. Monthly sustainment includes food and life-sustaining supplies. Most of the recipients are widows with children and Christians in hiding. Evacuations from Afghanistan have decreased significantly, but we are evacuating the high-risk individuals from Afghanistan as needed. Currently in Pakistan, we have 8 safe houses with at-risk Afghans waiting for final resettlement. We have 12 families, 42 people in our care just in Pakistan waiting for a country to open up. One of the greatest challenges for pathways for the Afghan situation is the countries. Nobody wants to take these guys anymore. So we are still trying to establish the pathways for resettlement. It is a full-time job. I can't give you the numbers, but we are working with Brazil, Mexico, Germany, Turkey. Total completed TNF cases with successful locations to date, 22,000 people we have relocated around the world. In Armenia, the hostilities inside Armenia began in September. In Azerbaijan, over 100,000 Armenians have fled. We are really having a hard time with a mass exodus. However, we are on the ground assisting Christian families as they flee their homes, looking for safe passage. We have 127 individuals that we have gotten out and gotten to safety. In Egypt, we have 32 Coptic Christian widows that are in need that we're sheltering. Iraq and Syria, this is where we started, and this is an amazing story. We're continuing to be on the ground there. There is one big, like, prison camp. And all of these Yazidis that have been taken as slaves, all these women, we know they're in this camp of about 10,000. And we have people that are working on finding them, okay? We have taken, just this last year, 172 souls out to Australia, 18 to Canada. It is the Yazidi women the camp is called Al-Hol. It's in Syria. We're reuniting these women with their family members in Iraq, rescuing survivors from human trafficking in Iraq. We're rescuing families fleeing a religious persecution for their Christian faith in Syria. We have safe houses for at-risk Yazidi women and their children of war. Children of war are children fathered by ISIS fighters. We are providing protection for former ISIS captives who are witnesses against ISIS for crimes against humanity proceedings. In Israel, after the October 7th attack, the Nazarene Fund responded with assistance to our partners in Israel. One chartered flight from Tel Aviv to Nashville for U.S. citizens and Israelis who were survivors of the October 7th attack. We partnered with M1 to provide funding for the relocation to the U.S. of 6 Israeli families who were survivors of the attack. Who even knew we were in Nigeria? Operation Lego launched in Nigeria on April 30th. Our primary objective is to collect irrefutable evidence along with actionable intelligence and target any and all individuals, rings involved with the illicit trade of organ harvesting, human trafficking, child abduction and exploitation, baby factories, and ritual killings. Some of the operations that we have conducted just in this year. We have arrested 6 human traffickers, and these guys are the scum of the scum. The rescue and aftercare of 32 children are now in our care this year. The rescue of 15 pregnant women who were being used as a baby factory. They actually have a black market baby factory. They come and they kidnap these women. They impregnate them. They take the baby, sell the baby parts on the black market. Infant hearts are worth $250,000 on the black market. So they take this child from the mother, kill it, harvest the organs, sell all the organs, then re-impregnate her and have her do another baby that they kill and harvest. It's unbelievable. We have, again, rescued 15 of these pregnant women. The recovery of 2 siblings abducted by their maid to be sold into the Nigerian trafficking market. We have found them and reunited them. We have Operation Renaissance that is going on now in Asia. It is a platform which has a range of tools to support a Christian minority community and other minority groups. Operation Resistance was established under the guise of conventional research and community outreach project to shield it from exposure to security agencies in the lockdown states. We had to shut it down at the end of third quarter this year, but some of the operations, we assisted 1,590 Christian families with food, medicine, and legal assistance to fight different types of persecution that they were facing. We rescued a 15-year-old Christian girl who had been abducted and brutally tortured by her employers for several days. Police, legal, financial support to, and successful rescue of a 12-year-old Christian girl kidnapped, coerced to convert to Islam, and forced to marry her 35-year-old Muslim abductee. Police and legal support to a 14-year-old Christian minor raped repeatedly and filmed by one of her superiors at the factory where she worked. Rescue and relocation of a father and his 3 children who were victims of slave labor for over 10 years. In Sierra Leone, Operation Silver was launched in Freetown, Sierra Leone, on September 1st of 2023. Its primary objective is to collect irrefutable evidence along with actionable intelligence and target any and all individuals and rings involved with illicit trade for organ harvesting, human trafficking, child abduction and exploitation, baby factories and ritual killings. It also pays particular focus to Christian persecution who have been singled out for abuse based on their faith. A few of the operations just this year that you have made possible. I'm telling you all of these things to let you know there's a lot of good in the world and you are responsible for it. Recovery of 2 trafficked minors, 14 and 16-year-olds from the Republic of Guinea. Rescue and repatriation of 9 children trafficked in the Republic of Mali. Recovery of a 10-year-old girl who's being trafficked to the Republic of Mali. Recovery of a 14-year-old girl trafficked from her village. In Sudan, we began this in April 2023. Fighting between rival armed factions broke out in the capital city of Khartoum. In June, we took 180 Kurdish workers with emergency evacuation and assisted them to get them on flights back to their home, food packages for 900, medication for 150, sleeping kits for 830. We were in Turkey with a 7.8 magnitude earthquake, $200,000 of emergency funding, tents, food, medical care provided. What makes us different is nobody is left in Afghanistan. All these people that were marked for death and have been for a long time, nobody else is there. We're the last there. We try to be the first or second in, but we are also the last one out. And a good example of that is what's happening in Maui. When we went to Maui and Lahaina, we flew the food and everything else out, and we found that they were so skeptical of any aid people because they said, you guys just want your names on the TV. You just want your logos here. Stand with this in the logo. And then you beat it. And my guy said, did you notice there's no logo anywhere? We're not, that's not what we do. We're here to help. And we'll be the last one here. Well, we will be in Lahaina for at least the next year, maybe 2 years, providing supplies. We're helping build tiny homes. They just found that arsenic is all over Lahaina. So these people are not going back to their homes anytime soon. That all has to be cleaned up. So we're helping build tiny homes so they can stay in the area. Plus, I don't have the number on how many people have killed themselves, but the suicide rate is through the roof. So we are there providing PTSD care as well. And this, these things, you know, Israel helped 440 Americans return to the United States. Two flights. We partnered with Corey Mills, partnered with the, I think it's the Shy Fund. We have provided ambulances for the Israeli people that they needed. I mean, you have done so many things. On education, we have hosted Pro Family Legislators Network, giving over 200 legislators information, critical information that they need. We are now, we've just finished starting ticketing. So now if you come to town, you can contact the American Journey Experience at M1 and you can get a private ticketed only tour because it's not open to the public. It's open, you know, at certain hours and you have to be ticketed to go in. We are now scanning our artifacts every day, 3D scanning, plus all of the books. We have the third largest library of the American founding. We have the largest collection of documents from Jamestown, also from the Pilgrims in the world. We're scanning all of those documents. They can be translated into any language, and they're all searchable. We are putting them all on blockchain along with all of the artifacts that I buy. We are 3D scanning them. So eventually you'll be able to have that and be able to manipulate it and look at it, you know, through a virtual reality there at your own home. And it's all going to be on blockchain. And we are deep into that right now. It's taken us longer than we wanted. And we have a massive, massive program starting next year. Hopefully, with your help, to educate not only families, but also take seriously all of the students in high school and college that not only want to know the truth about America, but are willing to teach it and want to dedicate their self to history of America. We have some really exciting things to announce. That is just scratching the surface. That's not how many babies we saved or anything else in this audience. I just want you to know there's never been a commercial radio audience, or I think a commercial television audience ever, that has done anything like this. Thank you. It is an honor to be around you and to serve you. Thank you. It's been a very good year for a lot of people who will never know any of our names.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We're glad you're here. I want to share something with you that has been making the rounds here at Blaze TV. That was just one of the kindest calls we've received. And we have great listeners. Our customer service department loves this audience. They're like, this is the greatest place to work because everybody's so nice, even when they have problems. But customer service, the head of customer service, passed this on. And I want you to listen to this phone call that came in a couple of nights ago.
Thank you for contacting Blaze Media. This is Chris. How can I help you?
Hi, Chris. My name is Kathleen Brock. I'm 56, and I'm sorry I talk funny, but I had a small stroke it's been 5 months ago, so now I talk in cursive.
Hey, I think you're doing great.
No, I don't think. I'm disabled and single. Older woman. Husband left me when I was diagnosed with autoimmune and also Lou Gehrig's disease. And I've been watching Blaze TV 24/7 for 2 years. I love Glenn and Stu and Pat Kevin, Sarah, and that comic who swears lot, Chad. I just want to call and say thank you, because Blaze TV has given me lots of strength to carry on. And I think Glenn needs to know that he touches people that he touches everybody. Everybody touches everybody. And I just wanted to say thank you for giving me the strength, and Blaze TV gave me strength, lots of strength, to be a strong mom and grandma. That's all I want to say.
I just thought this was just the sweetest thing, and everybody in the call center was overwhelmed. And I just want to get Kathleen on the phone real quick just to say hi back. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, are you there?
Yes.
I'm here.
How are you, Kathleen?
I do, and good. I'm doing very good because Jesus carrying me. And so I have a little bit of stubborn streak, but I wake up every morning so I can watch Pat Grave.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
And everything. I love everybody there. And that's how I do all day.
Kathleen, I'm sorry to hear about the stroke and Lou Gehrig's disease. That has got to be quite a burden to carry. How long have you known that you had Lou Gehrig's disease?
It's been off and on because doctors took them a few years to figure it out, but now it's been made very clear almost 2 years ago, and it's speeding up because it's from this world, and I think that I'm okay about going home with Jesus soon. So I'm still happy. Just kind of a struggle sometimes.
You have three kids, two grandchildren?
I have three kids, adult kids, live in California, and my youngest is in Spokane, Washington. He's 23, and I have five grandbabies. They all in California, and that's been the hardest part of being ill, is I can't be around and know my grandbabies before I go home.
Where do you live? Where do you live, Kathleen?
I live in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Oh, it's a great place.
Yes, it's very cold this morning.
Do you get to do you ever get to go out and be with them? Can you travel?
Since the little stroke from kind of overdoing it this summer, I don't get behind wheel no more because it's not safe. So my son in Spokane sometimes tries to make it see me because he's busy in his career.
but I haven't seen any of my other kids in California in almost 4.5 years.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Because COVID really did lots of things, and things just hard down here. Satan is running amok.
Yeah. Kathleen, I just want you to know that everybody on the call center, they were just so moved, and this has gone through all of the talent as well here, and all of us have been so touched by your kindness and your strength. I just wanted to say hi and thank you for calling. You have no idea how much your call meant to all of us.
Well, you all mean lots to me, and since things in this world have been so tough, that after I talk to Jesus and do my devotions, I have to watch Beck to make everything seem okay. And I appreciate everybody more than you all can really understand. But thank you for saying hi. It's a pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to meet you. The head of our call center just loves you and is going to be sending you all kinds of Blaze stuff. And we're also, you know, extending your membership so you don't have to worry about paying it anymore. But we're just so honored to have you as a viewer and a listener.
Well, I don't know if I pay membership because I'd be kind of cheating with just turning on Pluto.
Well, we're going to give you then if you don't have membership, then you are definitely going to get membership so you can see everything. You can spend time, you know, with us off of the set and see all the behind the scenes and all the things that you're missing just by watching us on Pluto. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That warms my heart because Jesus is good. He always makes me smile, and now he gives me smile. With all of you.
I will tell you, Jayla, you said in the uncut version of that we didn't play, you said that you felt Christ told you to call and say that what we do makes a difference. And I have to tell you, it is a testimony to me how kind and gracious our Heavenly Father is. Your phone call has made this journey of starting the Blaze and almost losing everything in trying to keep it afloat for so many years, where before it was time for it, to now, your phone call means a lot to me and has made all of it worth it. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Now don't make me cry too. But we just then need to keep trusting in Jesus and pray that lots of people will tune in and learn so they can get their spiritual heart in the right places.
God bless you, Kathleen. Thank you so much.
God bless you, I'm glad I can watch it.
Thank you. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Thomas Massey, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Well, I've been better. I'm a little bit out of breath. I just ran from that vote that just threw away the Fourth Amendment to our Constitution. They passed the extension of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act.
Oh my God.
Of course, it's been used to spy on Americans, so it's misnamed. But
was it even close?
It was close in a way. We only needed 1/3 of the House to vote against it to stop it. See, I sit on the Rules Committee. Chip Roy sits on the Rules Committee. Ralph Norman sits on the Rules Committee. We have a blocking position, and we said, you're not going to mash this thing together with the funding for our military and put it on the floor. That's the swamp way of doing things, and we're done with that. So instead of bringing the bill through the Rules Committee, as most bills go, they brought it on the floor without going through the Rules Committee by suspending the rules.
Jeez.
Now, they can do that, but then they have to get a two-thirds majority vote. So we needed 140 votes, roughly, out of the people who were present to stop it.
Yeah.
118.
I would assume most of them Republicans, but I hear there were some Democrats that were against this as well.
Yeah, we had 73 Republicans vote against this, and 45 Democrats vote against it.
Listen to this, America. Just 76, did you say? Republicans.
Yeah.
That is insanity. What are these people thinking?
Well, Glenn, they put you in a skiff here, one of these secret rooms without your phone, and they try to convince you the world's going to end if you don't allow them to reauthorize this. But that's a false choice. We passed a reform to this that would require the government to get a warrant out of Jim Jordan's Judiciary Committee, another committee that Chip Roy and I sit on. And the speaker, instead of bringing it to the floor on, as a standalone bill, brought this this horrible thing that, as you said in your intro, we already know they've admitted they've used it illegally on 250,000 times on Americans. They brought the same program back to the floor, and they say it's a four-month reauthorization. But as Mike Lee, who's read the bill, points out, it may be more than a year reauthorization because they'll just reset the clock in January.
Can you give me any hope for the Republic?
People ask me, is there any hope? I say, I am here on the 5% chance that we can fix it, and on the 30% chance that it all goes to hell and I live through that and I can be here to try to put it back together. So, you know, we started out this year, we were going to, you know, and McCarthy put three of us on the Rules Committee so we could make sure this didn't happen, so that we could make sure they didn't put two different bills together. You understand, I don't want to defend them, but I want to explain the reason 147 Republicans voted the wrong way. They were given a false choice. They were saying, if you don't fund this program, then we won't be able to spy on terrorists. And, oh, by the way, we've attached it to the military funding bill, and the soldiers won't get paid, and they
won't
get funded.
I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, Thomas. I don't mean to. I'm probably as mad as you are, but you're being much too kind. I'm sorry. If you're in Congress and you fall into that trap, which has been used over and over and over again by both sides, you're a moron and not smart enough to be in Washington, D.C. Sorry.
It's Lucy and the football. For some of us who've been here 10 years, we've seen it about three times because this program comes up for reauthorization every 4 years or so. But you're right. They use the same tricks over and over. And in the classified rooms, they give you examples of how this program has been used to stop terrorists, but they don't give you examples of how this being able to spy on Americans without a warrant has ever been able to help them stop a terrorist.
Does CTIL ring a bell with anyone? Are they even paying attention? You know what Matt Taibbi and Schellenberger came out and testified to about CTIL and the program of psychological ops being run on the American people. The last thing this government needs is more power. You know, everybody on the left and the media, oh, Donald Trump is going to be a dictator. What's the difference from what we're doing right now? What's the difference?
Here's what's so frustrating to me, Glenn, is I've waited a decade to get a chairman of Judiciary or chairman of Intel, and in this case, we got the chairman of Judiciary who actually cares about this issue, Jim Jordan. And Mike Johnson served on this committee. He was working on this problem with us. Then he became speaker, and he won't bring the Judiciary bill to the floor.
Why? What part of his soul do you think he sold?
I don't think he sold his soul. I think they have put him in one of these rooms and shown him the extra super classified stuff and convinced him that if he doesn't do this, there'll be a terrorist attack on January 1st.
There's going to be a terrorist attack in this country because our borders are wide open.
That is true.
I mean, you cannot have it both ways. You can't say we have to have this tool because terrorist attacks are going to happen, but we're letting 5,000 people in every day. You can't have it both ways.
I'm sorry. But your frustration is an expression of the frustration of your listeners and of my voters. I am Chip Roy. I got to give him credit. Oh. He called a motion to adjourn before they brought this bill up. He tried to adjourn Congress.
He should have pulled the fire alarm. They don't do anything about that anyway.
I guess we should all pull fire alarms.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then the gall of James Clapper to come out and have the same people that wrote the public statement about Hunter Biden's laptop, the same people come out and say, we really need Section 702. How do these people have any credibility with anybody?
I don't know, but they put them up as subject matter experts. They should be a reason you should vote against it.
Exactly right.
For it.
Exactly right. Okay, can you tell me? Gosh, Thomas, I know I love you. I'm sorry. If don't feel like I'm taking it out on you. I know it probably sounds that way, but you're one of the good guys. So, and thank Chip and Mike and everybody else that's working behind the scenes to stop this stuff.
There's a little bit of hope, Glenn. Let me give you a little bit of hope. We still have the judiciary bill. They could still bring it to the floor. We could still pass that in the House. That's what we need to do. There's a fake reform package that the Intel committee has passed. We do not need to bring that to the floor. Actually, Chip Roy and I and Ralph Norman stopped that from coming to the floor this week, the fake one. So there's a real one on the docket. They could mark it up January, February, March. That's what we need to do. It's got reforms like get a damn warrant. It's got reforms like criminal penalties for people who abuse the program. It's got reforms like congressmen can go over there and look at what's going on kind of reforms. I think it's a serious bill. That's the one we should bring to the floor, and we should do it as soon as we get back after Christmas.
All right. What else is being sneaked by the American people in the holiday season? Because this is when it always happens. What else is going to happen?
Well, while I've got you on here, here's what's coming up next. They did the extension, the CR.
Yeah, of course they did.
CR mm-hmm. into January and February. But you remember, I got a provision that if they keep doing CRs, the whole budget gets cut 1%. I know that's not enough, but that will kick in April, and they are freaking out right now. And when
over
we come
1%?
Back, over 1%, like the world will end if we spend 1% less this year than the Democrats did last year.
Joe Biden farted out $200 million to Ukraine, and that wouldn't. I mean, that's not even touching 1%. Are you kidding me? They're freaking out.
They're freaking out, right? 1% is $15 billion, and Joe Biden's asking for another $60 billion. He's asking for 4% of our discretionary budget additionally to go to Ukraine, and they're freaking out over this 1% cut provision that I got signed into law. They did this out of desperation, but now it's coming up. They will move heaven and earth to get out of that 1%. That's what everybody needs to be watching, I think, right now, is whether they cheat us out of the 1% cut that Chuck Schumer voted for and Joe Biden signed so that they could get the debt limit through.
Unbelievable. Well, Thomas, thank you for all the fight that you guys are doing. And I know, cause I hear from you guys personally, I hear from you, you know, late at night, what the hell am I still doing here? You know, it's not making a difference. You are making a difference. And at least somebody is standing up to all of this. Can I ask you, do you have an opinion on the Supreme Court taking the Donald Trump case? Or not the Donald Trump case, but the what's his face, you know, the prosecutor, that case.
I've been so busy with the FISA thing, I haven't paid attention to that.
Okay.
I saw Hunter Biden scroll through here without showing up to testify.
Can you imagine the gall of that?
It's insane.
It's insane.
Gumming he's just flouting it in our faces.
I know. And you guys can't really do anything, can you? I mean, you can hold him in contempt of Congress, but that doesn't mean anything because the Justice Department is rogue.
That's correct. You refer it to the DOJ. They're not going to do anything. It's the president's son.
It's obscene. Thank you so much, Thomas. I appreciate it.
All right. All right. Thank you, Glenn.
You bet. Bye-bye. Na-na-na-na.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.